What's up, y'all? It's your man, JoJo Mason. And you're listening to Music's Journey Podcast with my girl, Kim Sia.
I am your host, Kim Sear, and you just heard a snippet of the brand new single, Broken Umbrella, off the much-anticipated forthcoming new EP, Sky Full of Stars, out on October 22nd by my very special guest, CCMA nominee country artist JoJo Mason. In 6 years since breaking into the Canadian country music scene, multiple CCMA award nominee JoJo Mason has been on a mission to find his own unique voice. Now, with the brand new 7-song EP on the way, he is ready to show fans exactly what kind of artist he wants to be. Here to talk about the lead single, Broken Umbrella, and the forthcoming new EP, Sky Full of Stars, here is country artist JoJo Mason. Welcome to the show.
Kim, what an intro, girl. Shoot.
Hey, I'm so proud of you. So proud of you.
Oh. Man, oh, thank you. My goodness, it's been a journey, hasn't it? So far.
Well, you know what? 6 years, you've accomplished so much, and you should be so proud of that. Now, can we talk gold? Woo! Let me say. So, gold certification record for Better On You, your highest charting and most streamed single to date. Congratulations.
Well, first, thank you. And second, it's still crazy to hear that. You know what I mean? It's still, gosh, that's been on my bucket list forever. Oh, my gosh. It's been one of those things. And hey, we got one.
Yes.
Somebody told me that, hey, man, once you get your first one, you're going to want another one. And you're going to want another one after that. So, ooh, I'm just manifesting.
And so are we. I think, you know what, I'm going to predict this one. Okay? I'm going to predict this one. You are definitely going to have one off of this new EP.
You think so?
I think so. 100%.
Okay.
I'm saying it, people. Them. You hear it first here. Yeah. I'm telling you, he's got another goal.
What? I'm not upset about that.
Cool. Now, talk about presentation in Calgary Stampede and your very good friend and colleague, Dallas Smith. Talk about that.
Kim, it was wild. Okay, so I'm on the stage, and this is my first show back from the pandemic stint that we was all in. And so I'm nervous, I'm excited, I'm having the best time with my fellas. I got my boys with me. Everything is beautiful. We're crushing the set. The crowd is having a good time. And I do this thing in my set where I sing a Justin Bieber cover. I sing the Love Yourself, okay? Because it's a great song, and everybody's been through some heartbreak, and everybody loves to sing that song with me, so boom, singing that song, get into it, have a good time with it. The crowd's having a good time with it, and after the song, I go into Better On You, which is like the contrast of, you know, the breakup song back into the love and the positivity. And so I'm on stage, I'm about to start talking about my lady like I do, and before I sing Better On You, and all of a sudden I look to my left, and Dallas is standing right there. And I'm kind of looking at him like, hey, dude.
What are you doing?
What are you up to, man? I'm not going to sing this love song about my fiance with you. So what are you doing here? I'm getting confused. I'm trying to buy time. I'm like, everybody is Dallas Smith. Everybody know him. And Dallas Smith. The crowd goes nuts. And I'm thinking to myself, what the hell is going on? So I look over to my left even a little bit more, and there's my two managers standing there with my first gold plaque, and they got me. They hit it. Kim, they hit it from me all weekend. I couldn't believe it. I was a little upset about it. Like, how'd y'all even get that past me? You know, usually I can spot those things, but my goodness, they got me, and I was shocked. I had no idea. I cried on stage. It was, oh gosh, it was something else. And then all of a sudden, so I got tears, you know, my voice all choked up. And all of a sudden, he's like, all right, man, well, go ahead and sing the song now. But what? Can a brother get a minute to gather?
I need to absorb. I need to live in this moment for a second.
That's what I'm saying. I was like, all right, sing the song.
Well, you had your beautiful fiance there too, right?
I did. It's my first show back. Listen, I am so in love with this girl. It is insane. And so I had to my first show back. She, you know, I want to celebrate all the things, you know, important in my life with her as well. So I had to make sure she was there, and I brought her father as well, my father-in-law as well, who's also, you know, super, super close with me. And so I brought the two of them out to experience that with me.
Cool.
She could not have been more proud. I never seen her light up like she did. And I couldn't believe she hid it from me too. When we got to Calgary, they, you know, Jenna and my manager, Jenna and Kelly, they are really good friends. They're good friends with my fiance now, obviously. And they told her, and she hit it. They all hit it from me, Kim. Every single one of them. I could not believe it. I was so out the loop. But what a surprise. My gosh.
Well, at least you know what she's going to be like at Christmas time, right?
Oh, gosh. She is like that. And I'm like, I hate surprises. I you can't get things past me. I always sniff it out.
Not this time.
I got. And I'm not happy about it, but I'm the happiest about it.
Gold on the wall. What an amazing moment for you. Do you have a special place? Do you take it to bed with you? What do you do with it?
It's funny. My man Steven just asked me that question.
Oh, really?
I asked Chanel, babe, if I can find a way to do it, can I put it on the roof of the bedroom so I can look at it when I go to sleep every night? She said no.
Not happening.
So naturally I did the nap. Nah, she said, no way. I couldn't believe it. Baby, this is for us. It's for us. She wasn't having it. So naturally I took it over to the next most important place in my life, was my parents' house. So we had it hung up at my mom's house and my mom and dad's house. And I wanted to make sure they got a chance to celebrate that with me too. So it's over there, and you know, some incentive to go over. My mama called, are you coming to visit anytime soon? So, you know, now I get two incentives, see my mama, see my papa, and go check out the plaque, make sure it's still there.
so nice. What a great moment. And I just know, you know, bottom of my heart, that's not going to be the last whatsoever. You got so much coming your way.
I appreciate that. I'm manifest. I'm doing this thing every morning, Kim, now, where, and this is with this guy that I'm working with. He's hired him to train me, and his method of training is, we're gonna build your mind and then build your body.
So, oh, you're talking about the boxing.
Actually not the boxing. That's my best friend Frankie. I box to fit. He's doing his thing, but I've hired this guy to train me personally. He's got me on a meal plan. He's got me on a workout regimen. He's got me on everything. And one of the things that really, really committed me to working with him was, again, build the mind first and then then the body will come second.
Yeah.
And the thing that I'm doing every morning and every night is writing down 10 things that I'm grateful for, why today was awesome, and why tomorrow is going to be amazing.
Awesome. I love that.
So I started doing that. The hardest thing is to stay consistent with it. So I've been really, really trying to stay consistent, and I have been. And honestly, Kim, it has made such a world of difference to my days, how they start and how they end, and how I'm living throughout the day. I feel like we're in a real good place. So I'm hoping that all of these, you know, things that I'm manifesting and all of the, you know, the positivity that I'm trying to give off, I'm hoping that really shows and rubs off into the universe or whatever, you know. But
we can all use that. You know what? I grew up this way, so I totally understand, because no matter how bad your day is, no matter what's going on, if you can look back before you close your eyes at night and just think of one thing you know, that there's a silver lining in. And whether or not it's you got through that day and tomorrow's a new day, like whatever it is, right? And it does make a huge difference in your outlook in life.
It has to, right? I mean, what you think about is how you are. What's going on in your world is who you are. And you know, you gotta give yourself a chance, and that starts with building your brain, building your mind, and strengthening that muscle, as opposed to, you know, just going in and trying to get some, you know, big pipes or, you know, curls for the girls. And, you know, it's not just about that anymore. You know, it's about building the mind first, right?
That's what I love about you. We're going to talk about supporting mental illness, which is a big part of what you care about too. And we'll talk about that in a little bit, but that is amazing. I'm just going to remind you, you've had some pretty exciting milestones in your career so far. You've had so many highlights, including 5 top 10 tracks, numerous notable national media appearances, countless major festivals and tour plays that you've had. You've checked off your bucket list performing on the CCMA in 2020. And then you received triple for the BCCMA nominations for Male Artist, Album and Entertainer of the Year, and now number one gold. So, hey, what an accomplishment. Wow. Pretty cool.
Wow. Jeez, it's crazy when you spout it out like that. My goodness.
You've done some awesome things, my friend.
You know, I always say I just want to make enough money to pay my bills and do something I love for a living. And I feel like I'm really, really able to do that. It's, gosh, that's really cool.
You got some
this is really cool.
huge inspirations to some young artists out there that might be thinking about going into the business and getting into the music industry. So you have really set the tone, and I love that positivity. So, you know, you're just such an amazing soul.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that. That means a lot from coming from you, Cam.
Do you remember what it was like, that feeling that you had when you walked into 604 Records?
I do.
And signing for that label?
Oh.
Tell us about that.
I do. I remember. So the way the 604 is laid out is you walk in the front door. To the left is a door with some offices. That's where my manager, Jenna, hangs out. And she runs the country department there, her and Kelly. And there's a door on the left, you walk straight, and then there's a big staircase that goes up to the next level, up to the upstairs, and that's where Big Boss Jonathan Simpkins' office is. And so I remember walking up these stairs, and my jaw hit the floor. All of the platinum plaques, the Nickelback, the Dallas Smith, the Theory of a Dead Man, the Marianas Trench. I'm fans of all these guys, mm-hmm. right? Like this is insane. So I'm looking to my left, I'm looking to my right, I got all these plaques, my stomach is in my stomach drops to the floor, my jaw drops to the floor. I'm sitting there just not in panic mode by any means, but just I cannot believe that I'm actually here.
Mm.
You know, I got that feeling. And so I got Jenna walking me up, and she's chatting with me like this is normal for her. And, oh yeah, you know, come on up, we're gonna have a meeting with Jonathan, and it's gonna be great. And you know, we're gonna chat about this, chat about that. And I'm sitting there like I'm trying not to black out right now. Like I'm whoo-wee. I
remember, nice.
I get into Jonathan's office. I'm sitting down with him, and I'm sitting down with Jenna and my team at the time, and I'm just in shock. And it was a no-brainer for me to want to sign with them. So that was what the first day was like. It was just more shock. I remember getting home, more than anything, Kim. I remember getting home, and I remember sitting down with Chanel and kind of saying, like, I can't believe what just happened to me.
Mm.
You know, I cannot believe that this is really, really happening. These guys, they not only believe in me, but they're willing to take a chance on me. Are you kidding me? I ain't never been in music before. I barely, you know, I'm just scratching the surface. They have no reason to jump on it, but they did, and they have been the most incredible support system for everything. It's funny because, you know, a lot of the times you can't just call up your, you know, the CEO of your job, right? I've never been mm-hmm. able to just do that, but I could call up Jonathan anytime I want to, and even if I just need to shoot the breezy, even if I just need a quick check-in or something like that. And that's what I love about my team and mm-hmm. what we've been able to build together is the personal relationship, but also the business side. But I know that they always got my back, and I got their back. So we've really, really, we've gone through a lot, ups and downs, but you know, through everything. We've been able to stick it out and stick together. And God, look where we're at now. We got a gold, freaking gold record. And I get to join the people on the wall.
Yes, you do. Yes, you do. And that's such an amazing feeling. It's incredible when you get people like that, a label like that, to just taking part in every aspect of an artist's life. And it's hard to come by these days. And they're just such an incredible label. And you've got a great team behind you.
I could not have said it better myself. They're incredible, and I couldn't be more appreciative. I got my girls Jenna and Kelly, and I got my man Simkin, and now that we've brought Dallas and his team with Scott Cook and mm-hmm. Billy Joe Asen, and I could not be more set. God, don't even get me started about my PR.
We'll talk about that one, because you know what, it's important too. So Better On You is such a fun song with a positive message that lifts us all, reminding us all to be doing the best that we can, but understanding we are doing the best we can, and that it's okay during tough times that we can come out the other side if you just have some faith, right? So really,
you got
really cool.
That's me, you know.
Now, talk to us about the writing for this one, the co-writing, because heavyweight Mitchell Tenpenny, he's all over the place right now. Talk to us about this amazing song.
Mitchell is the guy's an anomaly, right? Like he's one of those like freak talents that is just I don't want to say generational, but he's incredible. And so to be able to be able to do some work with him is fantastic on its own. But I wouldn't have had that opportunity if it wasn't for my girl Megan, Patrick. We was on tour, mm-hmm. and that's how I ended up meeting Mitchell through Megan. And so we've been able to, you know, she's obviously one of my best friends in this game, and being able to work with her and also work with a guy like Mitchell is insane. He's an incredible guy, but he's also an incredible musician and incredible writer. And what a freaking voice he got! He had no training. He never done no lessons. No, that's just how he opens his mouth and angels come out. You know what I'm saying? So I just feel lucky that I get to be a part of that, and the fact that he was able to write such a gem with some of his best friends. You know, that's inspiring to me. But I was so lucky. I just got a chance to relay all the things that I was feeling through his words. You know. Well, you know me, and I always say this, and I've said this from the very beginning. If it doesn't make me feel something, I'm not going to sing it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? It's got to make me feel something. Because if it makes me feel something, I'm not anybody special. I'm just a regular dude. But so if it makes me feel something, it makes me feel good or sad or happy or glad or whatever it may be, I know somebody else is going to feel that same way with me.
Amazing job, and it shows with all the awards and nominations and everything that you're going through right now. So, man, you are connecting.
I'm trying. I just, you know me, God, I just love making friends and put smiles on people's faces. That's it. That's all I want to do for the rest of my life. If I can do that, I'm a happy guy.
Better On You, we're going to play it for you right now.
Out of my closet, but when you slip it on, girl, you look like a model. If I'm being honest, it could be high waist jeans, tank tops, long sleeves. No, don't even get me started on yoga pants. It could be them 3-inch heels, low cuts for real. Oh yeah, you know you look good in all of that. But when you turn a 2-piece into a 1-piece, girl, you're a master. And nothing at all. And you can turn a black dress into a God bless. Lord have mercy when it's hitting the floor. You make me wanna dim the light, shut the shades, bump a little Bruno, babe. Watch you go and do what you do. Yeah, it's true. You look good, 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 girl, in anything. But nothing looks better on you. Cop tongue straight out of the bottle. It could be the sunshine filling in them tan lines laid out on a towel. Baby, from your lipstick to your necklace to your little tattoo, ooh, you look good in all of it. But when you turn piece. Girl, you're a masterpiece and nothing at all. And you can turn a black dress into a God bless. Lord have mercy when it's hitting the floor. You make me wanna dim the light, shut the shades, bump a little Bruno, babe. Watch you go and do what you do. Yeah, it's true.
I'm your host, Kim Sear, and that was Better On You by country artist JoJo Mason. We have a lot of international listeners out there that may not know your personal story. So can you take us to the very beginning of your musical journey and where you picked up that music bug? Because you were a hockey player for a long time.
Yeah.
And then, you know, moving into the music industry.
So it was, gosh, what a time that was. So, okay. So let me start from the beginning. All right. So I was living in Victoria. I was originally from Saskatchewan. Moved to Victoria when I was about 14. I was playing hockey at the time and I injured myself. I herniated a disc in my back. And at the time, hockey was my identity. That was who I was. That's who I wanted to be. That's where my goals, my aspirations to succeed. That's where my goals was. So when that got taken away from me, I went down a heck of a spiral and I experienced a crazy depression for the first time in my life, and I wasn't able to recognize that that's what it was. Mm. So I let it cripple me. I let it absolutely crush me. I couldn't stand for more than, you know, an hour or two at a time. I had to go lay down and be horizontal. So anyways, it was a real dark time for me. I was not doing the greatest things. I was physically not able to do things, and mentally I wasn't able to recover. But I had this thing in my mind where, you know, if I can't fix myself, then I don't deserve to be happy. So, you know, I let myself go. I put on a ton of weight, and I was living with my brother at the time. My parents had then relocated to the mainland, so they moved to Vancouver and me and my brother stayed on the island. So I'm living with Jamie. He started to notice me starting to slip and go down the spot. It got to the point so bad where I was drinking a bottle a day. I was, you know, smoking two packs of cigarettes a day. When as soon as I would wake up, I'd go to the bathroom, I'd pass the mirror, I'd start crying. I couldn't even look at myself. I was not in a great spot. Mm. But the way I tell the story is my brother called my mom, told on me like brothers do, ratted me out. So he called my mom and said, "Ma, you got to come get this guy." So the way I tell the story is, and this is how I see it in my mind every time I'm telling this story, is my mom. She's 5'3", you know. she walks, boom, busts in the door. If you could see me, I'm doing a big high kick right now. Boom, busts through the door, and my mama, here she comes, standing in the doorway like the Incredible Hulk, grabs me by my ear and drags me out and takes me, basically says, "All right, pack up your stuff, we out." So they took my 5'3" tiny little mother. Just you know, she saved me.
She knew what she had to do.
My dad.
Yeah,
exactly. And it was almost like they just knew. So I remember getting home. I remember getting to the mainland, and my dad sat me down and he said, "Son, I love you. We're gonna take care of you. We're gonna have the support for you, but you're not smoking. You're not drinking. You're not doing drugs. You're not doing nothing, anything. You are cold turkey right now if you want to stay in this house." It was tough love, but my God, it's what I needed at the time.
Wow.
So
cool.
They really, yeah, it was, I was in a real rough spot. And so if I hadn't had that, who knows where I'd be right now. And, mm-hmm. and so I remember, we'll fast forward a little bit. So I ended up, it took me about 8 months of physical therapy and rehab to get my back better after my injury. And it was every day. I was, you know, every single day it was a tough one, but I got there and I was proud and I was able to start working again. I was able to go back to bartending. And so I ended up getting invited to a Christmas party. This is the good stuff. This is where the good stuff happens. So I got invited to a Christmas party, and me from a friend, a coworker of mine at the bar, I said, "Absolutely not. I'm not going to waste a Friday night in Christmas time where I could easily make $500. It was a slow night. So I said, "Okay, I'm going to go." So I went to the liquor store, bought a jar of moonshine, went to the party, walked up the stairs, put my jar of moonshine on the table, started pouring shots like I do to the crowd of people. So the guy comes over to me, puts his arm around me, and he looks at me and says, "Hey, man, I got to talk to you about something real quick." I was like, "Bro, I never even met you before. Who is you?" And we got to chat. Turns out he's my first producer, Dan.
Oh, so wow.
So we started chatting, and we just became buddies that night. And it was, there was no pressure on it. Eventually, he looks at me, and after a couple of drinks and a jar of moonshine, and he says, "Man, it's too bad you're not a singer. Because you got something, man. My team is looking for a male artist to develop, and you know, you got something. It's too bad you're not a singer." And I was wasted, and my liquid courage took over, and I looked at him dead in his eyes. Kim, I looked at him dead in his eyes. I said, "Well, I could try." Oh my God. He looks at me like I was crazy. He looked at me like I was absolutely out of my mind, SHIT crazy. And so he looks at me and says, "No, listen, man, I've been in this game a long time. You don't just try. You either got it or you don't. So, you know, do you even sing?" I was like, "Well, I sing in the shower. I sing in my car. So, yes." But get this, I didn't even sing for him that night. He ended up giving me his card and saying, "All right, man, if you've never done," at this point, I've never even done karaoke before, but he says to me, if you got the balls to call me, I'll give you 1 hour of my time." So I messaged him in the morning, all hungover as I get after parties and Christmas time. And I'm going through my pockets. I pull out his card. I text him right away. I said, "Hey, it's Jojo with the Moonshine. What's up, man? You still looking for a male artist to develop?" And he said, "Yeah." So he sends me a karaoke website. Pick any song. We're going to upload the track. We're going to put it up on my computer. We're going to bring you into the booth. We'll give you 1 hour, see what you got. So, all right, cool. Guess which song I picked.
Which one?
Chicken Fried by Zac Brown Band. So I took that karaoke version of that song. I took it over to his house, and I remember walking down them stairs in the back of his house. He's got a studio in the basement. I remember walking down the stairs and almost having a panic attack before I knocked on the door. I was standing like, "This is insane. What am I doing here?" So I walk in. Oh, he opens the door and I walk in and we chat for a few minutes. He says, "All right, man, well, let's put you in the booth, see what you got." So I went into the booth, we called it the barn. He had a big barn door and his recording booth. And so I get into the booth and he's in the control room and he loads it up. He sets my microphone, loads up the track, and we start singing. The track starts. I'll never forget. I'm standing there in front of the microphone. He can't see me. I can't see him. I'm by myself in this little room of a guy I barely even know. I had met him 2 times in my whole life. And standing there in front of this microphone thinking, "What the hell am I doing here?" And the music starts rolling. I got goosebumps immediately. And I start singing. And the way he tells the story is that he was in the other control room doing cartwheels. He had no idea what I was going to sound like. I could have sounded like Alan Jackson. I could have sounded like, you know, like Kenny Chesney. I could have sounded like anybody. I could have sounded like anybody. And so when he heard me, he was, you know, he was doing cartwheels. And we agreed to start working together. And, you know,
so
from there,
cool.
We had 4 top 10s.
Very, you know, cool.
So that's how I got into the game.
That's such a cool story.
It got to the point where things started just aligning. And I'm not a religious guy by any means, but I couldn't chalk it up to anything other than fate.
That was meant to be.
You know, like, it's meant to be. Mm-hmm. This is because what else would have happened? Can I tell you about how I met my fiance too? It's the craziest thing. So I was working at this bar. It's called Jack's Neighborhood Pub. Working with my friend, one of my closest friends. Her name is Sandrine. And so I'm sitting with Sandrine. We're chatting. We're shooting the breeze. All of a sudden, the owners come out and tell us we're closing soon. Okay. They went bankrupt. A whole bunch of things happened with them on the financial side of things. And things just didn't work out. Anyway, new owners came in, swooped in, and were getting calls left and right to bring me and Sandrine back. So I was running the bar. She was running the service staff. And I remember sitting down with Sandrine trying to pick a staff for the new bar and the new owners, trying to pick a staff. Who are we going to hire? Sandrine looks at me and says, I want to hire these two girls. They're amazing. They're beautiful. They're fantastic. They got great personalities. They're very good at their job. They're smart, competent. And I said, but you're friends with them, right? She says, yeah. I said, then it's not a good idea. Like, let's not mix the friendship and the business. Come on, what are you thinking? You did first time or something? She ended up doing it anyways, of course. I begged her not to, but you know, who am I? she did it anyways, of course. And it turns out the two ladies that I begged her not to hire was one, the girl who invited me to the Christmas party where I met Dan, who's got my start in music, and two, my now fiance of 6 years.
Nice. Wow.
Right.
See?
It's just it,
all meant to be.
It's meant to be.
I'm telling
you. It's supposed to happen. I'm supposed to be here, Kim, and I've never felt this way about anything in my life. This is the one thing I am 100% sure of, is that this is where I am supposed to be.
See, this is
that. Whatever scale it may end up at, this is where I'm supposed to be.
See, that's that snippet in your life right now, this musical journey and just your journey. You know, this is that moment you're always going to remember, right? That's really come from a bad time and coming out the other side, right? And
that's
this
it.
Is
one
so
door closed,
cool.
Another opens.
Nice. So cool. What were your influences growing up for music?
Here's the thing. I was never just like a country music fan or a rap music fan. I was a good music fan. Like, I loved good music. I like the Beatles. I like Johnny Cash. I like Alan Jackson. I like Boyz II Men. I like Craig David. I like, oh God, you look at my iPod and my iTunes playlist. Ooh, I got the whole Celine Dion album. Are
wow.
you kidding? That's my jam. I feel like when it comes to music, I'm very eclectic. So I got all of my influences and all of my flavor from all over the place. You can hit me with some Natalie Imbruglia anytime.
Wow. You know what I mean? Can you remember a song that moved you so much emotionally that kind of sticks out for you?
Yeah, I absolutely can. It was called I Wish by R. Kelly, and that was one of my favorite songs, and now it breaks my heart that all this stuff is happening with him.
Mm-hmm.
But that song at the time was one of the most impactful songs in my life. I could sing the entire thing to you right now, verbatim.
Wow.
And it was just such an impactful song for me in my life and what I was going through, and I really related to that one. So that's a no-brainer question for me. That was my jam back in the day.
Nice. What has been the hardest hurdle for you as a musician? What has been the hardest thing so far in the last 6 years?
The hardest thing for me. There's been a few. I've never actually thought of what's the hardest thing. I think the hardest thing has been trying to find out where I fit in.
Your unique sound.
I don't look like everybody else. I don't sound like everybody else. And to try to find out where my lane is. And I think like I said, as a musician and like I always say, as a musician, as an artist, one of the things you want to do is continuously grow. And I felt lost for a little while, as to which direction I wanted to go in, and that I wanted to people to see and, you know, the me that I was comfortable showing everybody. I think I've really, really grown into that man and that person that I can look in the mirror and be proud of. And it's been a long time since I've been able to say that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm feeling, you know, that's been one of the hardest things, is to be able to find me. I'm very comfortable with who I am now and very, very proud of the lane that me and my team have paved for myself. And I always say my team because I know one thing I learned in this game is that you can't do anything by yourself, and it takes... You know, it takes a village, right? So
Boy, does it ever these days.
it really does, right? You can't do anything by yourself. I've tried. I had that mentality when I was in my darkest days, and I don't ever want to be there. So whenever I'm talking or doing interviews or talking about my, you know, my successes, I'm not talking, they're not my successes, they're our successes, because without my team, I wouldn't be, you know, in the guidance of my team, in the direction that I've been lucky enough to be able to go.
Mm-hmm.
To go down, the path that I've been able to go down has been not solely to them, but God, I wouldn't be doing it without them.
Well, it helps to have an experienced team behind you, but it also is something for you to be able to believe in what they're pitching.
And that's the thing, is I have great ideas when it comes to the music. So one of the things I really appreciate is my producer, whenever I have an idea or a melodic change that I want to do, or something that I feel like would make a song more me, I feel so comfortable going to him and saying, hey, man, well, what about this? What if we try something like this? And a lot of the time, he's like, hell yeah, man, good idea. And so I feel really grateful to have that team that has been around the block, who wouldn't be working with me if they didn't believe in it, if they didn't believe in this project. You got to believe in the product. You got to believe in the person. And I think I found both of those things with the direction that we are going in and the direction that they've allowed me to kind of pursue.
Now, if you could spend a day with an idol of yours, past or present, who would it be and why?
Oh, goodness gracious. It would probably be one of two. I would love to spend one full day with the members of Boyz II Men.
Oh, nice.
I've grown up listening to them. And I always take little snippets. Actually, I use one of the runs in their songs as my warm-up and before I do shows.
Oh.
And I'm just trying to be like them, because gosh, are they cool?
It's nice when you can strip away all the music, all the instruments, and just listen to them sing. I could listen to that all day long. Absolutely love those guys. Really cool.
Girl, you and me.
Uh-huh.
You and me.
We're doing it. Telling you. Manifesting.
You know, can I tell you a story? Get this, Kim. You're going to be just as upset as I was.
Oh,
get this.
Oh, no.
So, I was at a Boyz II Men show, and there was... First of all, they should never be opening for Paula Abdul. As amazing as Paula Abdul is, they should never be opening for Paula Abdul. But it was the New Kids on the Block tour. I'm sure they didn't have a choice, but they was out touring. Anyways, I'm in Toronto. I end up getting some tickets to the show, and I'm on the side, right? They got the big old stage, and I'm on the side about four or five rows up, and there's some people in the seats in front of me. But Boyz II Men, they do this thing at their show where they're singing, one of their incredible songs, I don't know, one of the songs, and they're throwing out roses into the crowd as they're singing the song. And I swear to God, I locked eyes with Wanye, and he takes a rose and he throws it into the crowd with emphasis to me. I swear to God, and then some lady in front of me.
He's looking at me. He's not looking at you. He's looking at me.
I swear to God, he's looking at me. I swear to God, he's like, Wanye, I've been here before. What's up? I'm losing my mind. Like, I got you, bro. You see me. I see you. We're friends now. We be best friends. And she throws the rose to me. And I'm about to catch it. And the lady two rows down stands up. Turns out she's 7 feet tall. Stands up and catches the rose in front of me. I almost cried. I didn't even stay for the whole show. I walked away from
the way
with Paula Abdul. I was too devastated. I couldn't say nothing to this lady. I couldn't say, because, hey.
Give it back.
She knows. How am I supposed to go to the nice lady who's supposed to be getting these roses from Boyz II Men and be like, hey, girl, that rose was meant for me. He's looking at me. She looked at me.
He
like,
wasn't looking at you.
Crazy.
He was looking at me. Give me my rose back. Too funny.
Oh, God.
Too funny. Yep, I don't know. Do you remember the first concert that you ever went to, that you purchased a ticket for yourself?
Yeah. Gosh, it was 2006, I think. 2006, 2005, maybe. I got me and my friend Taylor. We got tickets to the Snoop Dogg and Ice Cube concert in Victoria.
That would have been a show.
It was insane.
He can write. Snoop Dogg can write. Holy cow.
He can write. Yeah. He can do it off the top of his head. He can freestyle. But I'll tell you one thing. Ice Cube stole the show from me.
Mm.
Ice Cube stole that dang show. He was the hype man. He was energy. He was jumping around back and forth. It was something crazy. Those
very
guys.
Cool.
That was my very first concert. I was about 14, 15 years old. And that was my first one.
Very nice. Do you have a song that you've released so far that's your favorite, or one maybe that you haven't released?
Yep. I got a couple. So I got this EP coming. The EP is called Sky Full of Stars. I named it after one of the songs on the EP. And this song, I don't think I've ever sang a song or put out a song that makes me feel like this one does. And when I listen to it without fail, every single time I get these super intense feelings of love and joy and happiness. And And sometimes the latter, sometimes it brings me back to, you know, so to some other times. So I needed this song to get its own spotlight, just in case we don't decide to release it as a single to radio or something mm-hmm. like that. People mm-hmm. don't get a chance to hear it. I wanted to name the album after it because I think it deserves to have its own moment of shine. And I hope that when people hear it, they know what I'm talking about.
But I can't wait. Yeah,
well, I appreciate that. I can't wait to get your ears on this one for sure.
So what has it meant to you to see that kind of response you've gotten in the music industry and on the music scene with the fans? What does it all mean to you today?
Everything. I mean, here's the thing is I'm a music fan as well. And one of the coolest things is seeing artists that you've supported from the very beginning, you know, start to make waves, right? It's mm-hmm. one of the coolest things. You can say, I'm there, I was there. And I hope that when I get a chance to meet people, they get a chance to meet me, they also feel that piece of my career with them as well. Because I know that without people streaming my songs and people digging my music and people reaching out to me and paying their hard-earned money to come to the shows, I don't have a career in this. Mm-hmm. You know, that's literally the only reason why I'm still relevant and the reason why I still get a chance to play. I get a chance to put music out. It's also just one of those things that, like, it means that what we're doing is working, right? It means that the hard work that we've been putting in, the hard work that we've been, you know, the songs that we've worked really hard to search for and practice and the shows that we're doing, it means it's working. It means what we're doing is being received in a really, really positive light. And again, without my people, you know, without mm-hmm. my people supporting me and streaming and reaching out and messaging me, I do my best to message everybody back if they message me on Instagram or Facebook or something like that. I'm really good at that because I know what that means to me when you know, artists that I look up to respond to me. So,
and it's that humble side that the fans can really relate to, you know, instead of somebody working on your social medias for you, you know, to be able to reach out to an artist and be able to hear that feedback, especially if they're sending you something that's personal.
That's exactly it. And that, again, Kim, it means that what I'm doing is working and mm-hmm. what me and my team are doing is working. And I could not be more grateful to be in a position where, you know, I get a chance to reach people. I get a chance to
touch lives.
Touch lives, no matter how big, no matter how small. I've heard some really, really incredible stories that have 100% brought me to tears thinking about how my music, what I'm doing, is affecting them. Me? What?
Nice.
And that for me is everything. That feeling that, you know, that feeling that I'm being received and being able to do something that, you know, mm-hmm. I don't suck at.
Using nice your platform. You're using that platform to do something great. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, more with country music's rising star, JoJo Mason, here on Music's Journey on 91.3 FM, Blue Water Radio. I am your host, Kim Sear, here on Music's Journey, and I am chatting with my very special guest, country artist JoJo Mason. We're talking about that influence that you've had on fans. Is there a story that sticks out for you?
Absolutely. My very first festival. This was probably the first experience I had with a fan reacting to what I'm doing in this sense. So let me tell you the story. It's a bit of a mouthful. So give me a sec to explain this one to you. So played my first festival. One of my first festivals, it was in Cavendish, PEI. So we went out to Cavendish and we're doing a thing off the stage. And one of the agreements was the meet and greet line, but you didn't have to get me to sign nothing to do that. I was on my way. You know what I'm saying? So I was on my way. And the lineup, I couldn't believe it. It was huge. Like, it looked like there was like 100 people there. And it was insane. So I get in there, I'm saying hi to everybody, I'm taking pictures, and this adorable, she was probably like 12, 13 year old, this adorable young woman, and she comes up to me, she's got her pink boots on, her pink hat on, aww, her pink vest on, and she wants me to sign her hat. I say, absolutely, darling, get over here, let me sign that thing. So we sign it. I get through the rest of the people. There's another about 25 minutes worth of people that was going through it. So I get to the end of the line, and there she is again. And she's got tears in her eyes, streaming down her face. And she comes over to me and she hands me her cell phone. And there was a note that was written on her cell phone. And it was one of the saddest things I had ever heard. And she said, "I want you to read this because I can't say it out loud." And it said something like, "I feel so alone. All my family and my friends don't talk to me. They don't love me. But when I listen to your music, you really help me get through what I'm going through."
Wow.
I'm not kidding. The people were trying to get me to go back to the backstage and finish the lineup and stuff like that. But I told her to hang on. I finished two more people. And then I sat on the grass with her and I talked to her for, gosh, I talked to her for maybe half an hour.
Oh, just nice.
Talking about her and her family. And we sat there and we chatted, and you know, there was people walking past us wondering what the hell is this guy doing sitting on the grass, you know, like. But it was one of those incredible moments where she, you know, she was in tears, she was opening up to me, and it was all because she was able to relate to the music, and it made her feel something. So that's a story.
Wow. She would have felt seen, would have felt seen for the very first time, and that would have made such an altering change in her life right there.
Well, who knows? But I just felt so lucky that I got a chance to be that for her, you know, when it comes to my music. But also now I got a chance to see her in person. And that was one of the most incredible moments of my life. And I'll always, 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 always tell that story.
Well, we are very thankful for you, you know, to be able to do that, to recognize that, you know, somebody just needed a little help in that moment, and to stop what you were doing to be able to sit down with her is pretty special.
Well, I've been there, right?
Yeah.
I've been there. Yeah. I've been down. I've been in my dark place, and to be able to reach out and talk to somebody at her age is an anomaly, let alone, you know, not bottling it up and hiding and trying to deal with it yourself, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, God bless you.
It took me a long time to figure that out.
God bless you for that. I relate. See, you and I are like souls, you know, in this lifetime, you know, that really feel for people. And I know I've spoken nationally, you know, working, you know, with people that have gone through an awful lot. And it's something that's very dear to my heart. And I know it's very dear to yours. Now, you just finished doing a very special show benefiting mental health with Dallas Smith. And that was in September here. Tell us about that full circle moment for you.
For me, it was something special. I've grown up listening to Dallas Smith, first of all. And to have him invite me to be part of that. Yes, he's, you know, he's agreed to be my manager and this and that, but something that he knows very well about me is that I struggle with my mental health as well. And I think one of the things that him and I connect on is that in particular. Mm-hmm. He's a little bit older than I am, so he's got a little bit more experience, and he's been in this game a little bit longer than I have. He's opened his door, his phone, his arms to me since we started working, even before. You know, we used to go for lunch, and whenever I'd be feeling a certain type of way, he would, you know, I'd call him up or message him, say, "Hey man, can we go for lunch? I just need some advice. I need to talk." So he's always been there for me in that regard over the last bunch of years. But to be able to be part of something that is so near and dear, that mm-hmm. he's initiating, that he's doing, that he struggles with, because he wants to give back, and the reasons behind it are what they are. It was something so special to me. I said to him, "Man, I like anything, anytime, any place, anywhere you're doing these mental health things, please include me." He's obviously, duh. Like, what do you think? I mean, we're doing, you know, absolutely, man. So he's been that support for me, and to be able to be part of something that he's, you know, started and he's mm-hmm. initiated is incredible. Yeah, it's all about giving back. And I think it shows volumes to his character, right? Shows volumes to who he is.
Yeah, it means so much to him that to kick off that benefit, you know, that charity, when it comes to being able to talk and be strong advocates for mental health, because it's so important today. Because it doesn't matter what age you are, it doesn't matter whether you're in your 70s or 80s, or whether you're, you know, a teen or younger. You know, people go through this, and a lot of it's situational. And a lot of people don't understand what mental illness is. And it just could be something that's tragic that's happened, you know, in your life, or losing somebody. You know, it could be job related. There's so many different things that bring about mental illness. It doesn't mean we can't conquer it.
That's exactly it.
Yeah, that stigmatism that sticks over everybody's head.
And that's one of the things I'm so proud about Dallas, is he's doing it, and he's doing it right, and he's doing it for the right reasons. He's not looking for a paycheck. He's looking to help. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, that's what separates him from, you know, a lot of people in this world.
Oh, for sure.
You know, he's He's done fine for himself. He's not looking for a paycheck. He's looking to help and make a difference and leave a legacy behind of being able to help. And the fact that I get to be a part of that is nothing short of spectacular in my eyes, right?
It was such a smart and safe event too, the hotel and surrounding the stage and the pool. Tell everybody about that never got a chance to hear about it.
Well, here's the thing. So we did a couple of the hotel shows in Calgary, and they were fantastic last year. They were really, really cool, and we got a chance to do one in Calgary again this year. But we got rained out in Vancouver. Billy Joe Ace, and she is an absolute genius. She had the whole thing set up. We were going to perform on a yacht. We were going to have all the people in the balconies. It was going to be insane, but we got rained out. A crazy storm decided to happen. So within hours, Dallas's co-worker, Billy, she just pulled it all together and set it all up, organized a whole new thing, set it all up inside one of the conference rooms. So we're sitting in, we we switched the entire style of the show. Usually we were going to go, I do a set, Sean does a set, Andrew Hyatt does a set, Kelly Prescott does a set, and then Dallas finishes tonight. Mm-hmm. But we all decided we were going to do it like this. We Nashville writers round style. So we all sat on the stage, we all sang a few songs, and we told stories. And people loved it. I couldn't believe it. The positive reviews, they were able to see something that they've never seen before, had a chance to see before. And I think they appreciated that so much more than, you know, any boat show.
Oh, for sure.
I think it's really cool. But we didn't end up doing that. So we ended up doing it in the conference room, which was amazing. Mm-hmm. It turned out, honestly, better than I thought it was going to, and better than anybody thought it was going to. And again, the positive reviews and Billy coming through. And she pulled the whole thing together in like 6 hours. She's an absolute hustler.
Well, they're monsters at what they do and able to get things put together so quickly, and it takes such an extreme talent to be able to think on the fly like that. So that's really cool. What was it like getting back on the stage to perform live after this last year and a half?
Insane. I felt like I leading up to it, I felt like, oh God, did I lose it? Do I still have it? Am I still gonna be on stage? Am I still gonna be okay? And it was almost like, initially it took me a second to kind of catch my breath. I found myself losing my breath for the first song, because I got out there and I was hyped. I was running around like, ooh, boy, is that? This shit is real. And so I'm losing my mind. And I started running out of breath in the first song. I'm like, uh-oh, let's reel it back a little bit. My training with Chanel Guyton really kicked in, and she helped me out. And so I started, okay, Jojo, breathe for a second. Take your time. Relax. Remember your breathing exercises. So I'm on stage trying to catch my breath. We finished the first song, and I got back into my groove. I was dancing. I was shimmying.
Gotta feel good.
I was high kicking. Ooh.
Has to feel so good. I got some great shots of you doing your high kicks. You know that? Got some really good ones of you.
Oh man. Now it's more like a medium kick. You know, I can't really get my leg up too high, but it's like a medium kick, you know.
Well, you got to perform the Country Night Pepsi Summertime Concert Series, Saskatchewan Rough Riders, so much you've done, Boots and Hearts, Endless Summer Series, again with Dallas Smith and Megan Patrick, Andrew and more. Yep. You've done some really great stuff playing with your homies. And you just finished doing the Rec Clause as well. Tell us about your favorite moment on stage so far.
Obviously getting my very first gold record. That was the highlight, I think. I'm gonna steal that one and keep that one with me forever. I think aside from that moment, that particular moment, I think playing in Saskatchewan, playing the halftime show with my band, some of my favorite people in the entire world. I got a chance to bring my old neighbors that I grew up with. They're still, you know, family, friends. I got a chance to bring them to the game and put them in the suite. And so I was able to go home to my hometown of Regina, Saskatchewan, and play for, 30,000 people.
Wow.
They was listening to my voice. It was something like I had never experienced before.
It's nice to go back home, isn't it? To be able to go back to the roots where you started.
Well, Kim, it was nice to go back, but it was nice to go back, you know, 16 years later, 17 years later, knowing that, you know, people still remember me. People know who I am. And you know, That hometown love was so strong, and I wasn't sure how I was going to be received, you know. And you know, it's amazing. It was absolutely amazing. So I'm just feeling so grateful these days.
So nice to see, you know, that full circle moment for you about some of the songs that you've released. And another one that we need to talk about is Chemical. And that was last summer that was co-written once again by Mitchell Tenpenny and Lindsay Rhymes and Keith Smith. This song brought such an electric energy sound to the country fans in that unusual summer. Tell us about picking this song.
That one was almost like a no-brainer again, right? It makes me feel something. It made me want to tap my foot, bob my head. And the clever lyrics that Mitchell and Lindsay and Mr. Smith, you know, it just resonated with me. It was hype, it was good vibes, it was energy, and anybody that's ever met me knows that's who I am.
Exactly.
And so it made me feel something. Kim, like I told you, I'm never going to put anything out that doesn't make me feel something. So it made me feel something. And the fact that I got to, you know, in the middle of a pandemic, I got to jump in an RV and go from one end of the country to the other in an RV, performing that song for social distance crowds, very small, those social distance crowds, was incredible. So that
nice.
Song will always hold a special little place in my heart. Well, we did something crazy in a freaking pandemic, you know?
Well, you know what? There was so much going on and it was so needed. And it's just such a really cool song. So we're going to play that one right now. And it's called Chemical by country music's rising star JoJo Mason here on Music's Journey.
Those kisses on the other side of midnight, and I'm trying to get my fix. I gotta get to where I'm feeling alright. I'm gonna drive all the way across town, lock you up, burn it down. While I'm twisting, I'm turning, I'm itching, I'm burning, I'm jonesing, got me breaking bad. Oh baby, how you've changed me. Too good to quit the first time with it. It's been a long, long fall. Baby, it's crazy. Once I hit it, gotta get it forever. And whenever I don't, you know I feel a little under the weather. It's like I'm gonna die if I don't get it tonight. Gonna get there fast in between the white lines. Get you running through my veins, it's time to take flight. Got me hooked for the rest of my life. Yeah, baby, how you've changed me. Too good to quit the first time with it. It's been a long, long fall. Baby, it's crazy.
That was Chemical by CCMA nominee country artist JoJo Mason here on Music's Journey. It has been such a difficult time for so many people around the world, and the artists and the bands, the band members, music industry in general, for every level, you know, to be able to get through this time. What has it been like preparing for this new forthcoming new EP and the choices that you made for the 7 songs on Sky Full of Stars?
I think the blueprint stays the same, you know. the music, like I said, and I'll continue to say this till my days end, is and if it doesn't make me feel something, I'm not going to sing it. Mm-hmm. Whether it be happy emotions, sad emotions, angry emotions, mad emotions, you know, it could be anything. But if it doesn't make me feel something, I'm not going to put it out. And I think the blueprint has stayed the same since the beginning. Songs that me and my producer Scotty chose and my team chose, you know, I'm so proud of these ones. And here's the thing too, Kim, is as an artist, and not just as an artist, but as an artist, as a man, one of the things as a person, as a human, one of the biggest things of importance in my world is the ability to continue to grow, mm-hmm. and evolve and develop and to evolve. I think that's the best way to put it. And I think with this next batch of songs, that's exactly what we've done. We've taken our sound to the next level, right? And I'm so excited for people to hear what we've come up with. And it's again, shows different sides of me, shows different sides of who I am as a man, as an artist, as a person, as a human, as a, you know, as a husband, as a, you know, a mm-hmm. brother, as a son, I all of these things. I want people to get to know me. And if they don't have a chance to meet me or talk to me, I want them to be able to, you know, understand who I am mm-hmm. Through my music, right? And I think we really nailed that well with these songs.
And this one too, just the EP, the title track, you know, Sky Full of Stars, we were talking about, the captivating love song that is so special. Yeah. And the musicians, you know, that are on this track as well. It's just such a great feeling. And it's just something that is, I think it shows that evolving that you're talking about, you know, with the seven songs mm-hmm. that are chosen specifically for this whole idea of this new EP.
Yeah.
And, you know, that I think, I'm hoping I'm right, that I'm getting that feel that it's just talking about different parts of yourself. This is
Absolutely.
Really a body of you.
Yeah. And there's no questions that I think we've really nailed it with this one. There's the experience of a crazy breakup that we went through, or that I've been through, and to see, even just start off the album, right? And mm-hmm. then there's another song closer to the end of the EP that's called What We Do With It. And it's all about making the most of every opportunity and the things that you have. And it's not about what you have, it's what you do with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that silver lining.
That silver dang lining that everybody keeps talking about and we all keep on chasing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I know, and I really hope that people are going to see, you know, see me on this one. I think that's ultimately the goal, right?
Well, if they know your story, they certainly, you know, would totally understand this. Because when you get knocked down, you brought yourself right back up to a place that's even better than you ever thought your life would be. And, you know, what you do with it, you know, it's a pretty fitting song, right?
That's exactly. It made me feel something good, you know. That's mm-hmm. what it is.
I have a feeling I'm just going to absolutely play this one over and over again. I can tell you. Now you got Let Me Down Easy.
Yeah, I think you will too.
You got Let Me Down Easy. That's the breakup song. And then you've got Think About mm-hmm. Us, which is,
yes.
I think,
oh,
you know, reminiscing about life, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's one of those songs that every time I listen to without fail, I don't know why. I don't know if I'm proud of, you know, the vocal performance I did, or if it's the lyrics or something, or the music or something, but I always get a little emotional when I listen to that song, and I never get emotional listening to my own music. You know what I'm saying? I every time I listen, it just reminds me and brings me to the places of, you know, crazy nostalgia that I just love to revisit every so often in my life. And it's,
I told you.
I just, yeah.
We're kindred spirits. You got a deep
yes,
soul.
Yeah,
I love
yeah,
that.
Yeah, we do.
I love that. Okay, I think this is your best work so far. And if you continue to evolve and grow like you are with this one, I'm telling you, it's a pretty amazing future that you've got still ahead of you.
Like I said, Kim, I can't do without the people in my team. So Scotty Chops, Dallas Smith, Jenna Robson, Kelly Meadows, my PR team, Shelby, Charlotte, Aaron, everybody, Danny Spears. Oh, God.
It's a lot of work.
Holy cow. It is a lot of work. And there's a lot of people that are involved. And you know,
social media alone is like full-time job. So, you know, the team behind getting that stuff out there. And just, we like to give a shout out to all of them, because a lot of the time people don't realize the work that goes into just getting out your lead single for this one, right? So
that's it.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a whole village to help this young boy get on his way. So I'm just really grateful for my team. You know, I got the best team. Well, and I got the best support system in some of the other artists in the Canadian country music world, right?
Yeah, and country music is so special when it comes to being able to put their arm around anybody, you know, that's new, that's coming into the fold, mm-hmm. and it's just like a very tight-knit family. And I love that about country music here in Canada, because we just have such a great support system. But it doesn't matter if you're just starting out. Everybody reaches out and posts the song of an upcoming new artist. And, you know,
it's
they'll
amazing,
put that on their own pages. And it's just like they're just so welcoming. And I'm really glad that you've had that experience yourself.
Me too. Yeah, me too. Because it's been something else. I wasn't sure how I was going to be received or perceived, and I could not be happier with the people that have opened their arms to me, and which being the, you know, obviously my team, but being the CCMAs, you know, the Canadian Country Music Association.
Mr.
You know,
nominee. They,
hey, it means what we're doing is working. You know, it means what we're doing is working. And, you
know, I can see it.
It could have gone a different way, but everybody's welcomed me with such open arms and showed me so much love. So I'll never have a bad thing to say about the people that are, you know, in my life professionally and, you know, personally.
Well, we're going to talk about your lead single that you've just released. It is one of my favorite songs right now for the year. And I play it over and over. It's just got such a cool vibe to it. And that's Broken Umbrella. It is just so great. And it's streamed over 780,000 times already.
Crazy, right?
Yeah. Since its release. So that tells you something. That's why I'm saying to you, like, not just this one, but I think this one's going to get you on a podium. I really do.
I hope so. And you know what? If it does, it does. If it doesn't, it doesn't. I'm putting no pressure on it. I'm putting no pressure on nobody. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, back to the drawing board. And again, with the team that I have, I'm not worried about a thing. I think we're going to do some real big things, and I hope this one goes. But you know,
I can't wait to see you play live again and just be able to kick back and have a drink with you. And just, you know what? We're just going to talk about where you all started. I'm telling you, pretty good vibe. So very, very catchy song. Talk to us about going into the studio, because I know it's been a tough, you know, year and a half for everybody getting in and getting ready for new music this year, because you didn't know how the year was going to go, you know, with the pandemic and everything. So talk about recording this very special song.
Well, it's nice because I have a team that has continued to be very optimistic about, you know, what's going to happen in the next 12 to 24 months when the whole pandemic started, right? So we didn't really, you know, as much as we took our foot off the gas, we didn't really take our foot off the gas, right? We were still trying to find ways to stay relevant, to stay, you know, to stay in the spotlight, to stay, you know, in people's face. And I think having that foresight as a team with my producer Scott and you know, Dal and 604, my team at 604, I think with all of us just still believing that, okay, yeah, we're gonna be fine, you know, we're just gonna have to take a little break and then we're gonna come back, but let's get prepared, let's get prepped, let's get ready. We didn't really take our foot off the gas, and we knew it was all gonna come back. It had to, right? The world can't live without music, and music can't live without the world, right? So you know, we knew that. So we didn't really take our foot off the gas. We just kept prepping and kept prepping and kept searching for new songs and kept, you know, kept hustling. We kept the hustle up. And even though there was some times that were a little bit dark, we didn't stop. Mm-hmm. We kept hustling. We kept working. We kept trying to find new ideas and trying to be innovative and find ways. So to stay in studio, that was a non-issue for my team. Me and my guys, we was on point with that one. So Scotty was leading that charge, and I was so happy to be able to just continue to get into the studio and find him searching and digging and working so hard to find the right songs that fit me and my style and who I am. And again, that make me feel something, you know? So we collabed on that. We decided we was gonna get back in the studio,
What a great job in picking these songs. We played a snippet at the beginning of the show, so here is the brand new single lead track, Broken Umbrella, by CCMA nominee JoJo Mason here on Music's Journey.
Life ain't always money in the bank. Yeah, sometimes you end up with an empty tank. It ain't all high cotton, smooth, smooth.
sailing. So when those seas start rocking and it's pouring rain, and just know that if your glass is half empty, I'm gonna fill up your cup. If you're running low on luck, I'll be your penny heads up. When your skies are all gray, I'm gonna bring you some color. You've got a broken umbrella. Well, baby, I've got you covered.
Host Kim Sear, and that was Broken Umbrella by my very special guest, CCMA nominee JoJo Mason. Tapping, your toes are just going to the lyrics of this one. So whenever you're having one of those days, feels like you, the world ain't on the same page, and the sunshine can't find you, I'm going to be right there behind you. So roll down the windows and crank this one. So this is such a cool song. Really cool song. Well done.
Yeah.
Well done.
Thank you. I'm pumped about it. It's me in a nutshell, girl. Good vibes only. You know, that's it.
Well, we got to remind everybody, the new EP called Sky Full of Stars, got 7 songs on this one. It is absolutely amazing. And it is out October 22nd via 604 Records. And you can pre-save your copy today. Tell everybody where they can go for that.
You can go to my Instagram. It's on my homepage. On my profiles in my bio, you click that link, a thing will pop up, you pre-save, and we keep eyes out for it, because we're going to be doing some giveaway contests, some real cool giveaway contests that are specific. So make sure y'all get in, make sure y'all pre-save your boy's album.
Well, and, hopefully.
I can't wait to share.
Broken Umbrella, you can get on all your streaming platforms. Share it on all your playlists and your socials. And you can also request it at your local radio station. So for everybody out in Australia and all those other locations that we reach to, so you can get on there and you're going to love this one. So I am chatting here with country artist JoJo Mason. Where the people can pre-save is really cool for this one. So now with Broken Umbrella coming out, is there anything that you've got coming that fans can tune into?
Y'all just hang out with me. Y'all just reach out to me on social media. I'm around. I do all my own stuff. I love meeting new people and making friends. I'm an open book. So if y'all got questions, you're aspiring musicians, you need some insight, always reach out. Don't ever hesitate. Always reach out. And I'm going to do my best to get back to you. And you know, it's always nice to, again, always nice to meet people, make new friends, and have allies all over the place, right? So anybody wants me, I'm here.
You are such a breath of fresh air. You really are. Tell us about shooting. Tell us about shooting the cool video that you have for Broken Umbrella. You were on your bike.
I was.
Nice.
I'm staring at my bike right now. So beautiful. I never thought of. Listen, man, here's the thing. If you know me, you know I'm not allowed to have shiny, fancy things because I lose them or break them. And the fact that my lady let me get this thing, ooh-wee. Oh,
kind of hard to misplace a motorcycle. Not necessarily.
Definitely not hard to break it. and right now the battery doesn't work, so I'm gonna have to figure it out. But it is a dream to have this, to shoot that video and to have, be able to ask if I could get my bike in the video was something special to me. And God, what a treat that was to be so, for my producer and the director to be so accommodating in that regard. I mean, she's a thing of beauty, so it wasn't too hard for them to be like, mechanic shop motorcycle, sure. But you know, it was really cool to have that, and just to roll up on my bike and ooh, that's how we start the video.
Little special.
Yeah, I'll keep that one.
Well, congratulations on all of this. Okay, what motorcycle would be your dream bike to own?
The one that I have right now.
Oh.
Not kidding. When, about 6 years ago, I met the guy that previously owned this bike, and it ended up becoming a real good friend of mine. He was a regular at my bar that I was bartending at. And I was, oh God, Kim, they would roll up. I could hear them from a mile away about to get up to the bar, and they would come in, and I said, Jimmy, my brother, this is a dream bike. If you ever get a chance, or if you ever decide you're going to sell this, please give me first crack at it. And you know, he wasn't planning on selling it, but I messaged him, you know, in the beginning of the year, and I said, hey man, if you're looking to sell your bike, let me know, just in case. And sure enough, he had just got a new one that was a little bit bigger, and he wanted this one to go to somebody good.
Meant to be.
So you don't mix it. Hey, that's what I'm saying. That's what meant I'm saying, to be. I'm not crazy.
High bars or low bars? Which one's your favorite?
We got the high bars. Mm-hmm. Ooh, we got the high bars. I love having my hands up here. It's nice.
Very
just
cool.
Just resting. I look cool. I feel cooler. You know.
Do you get your fiance on the back and go for a ride?
Hell no! I don't think so.
Why?
Not on this bad boy.
Oh.
Well, first of all, it doesn't have a seat for it.
Yeah.
And my butt's really big, so I take up the whole seat. But this isn't a bike to share. This is a bike for me to have my time. My
nice.
Next bike, however, if I'm allowed to ever get another one, my next bike will definitely have two seats. But also, here's the thing. Is I suggested, instead of getting a seat for my bike, why don't I put you through the schooling like I did, the 5-day course, and we'll teach you how to ride on your own, so then we can go on trips together.
Mm-hmm. Love
that'd
that
be kinda cool.
Love that,
that'd be kind of cool, right?
My dad rode bikes most of my life, and so he's a Harley guy, and absolutely loved getting on the bike as a kid. It's just, there's just nothing like it to be able to get on the back seat of that bike. And I never got to drive one, but yeah, love it.
Well, if you ever get a chance to, make sure you do it proper. Take the course and then go. But I'll tell you there, you'll never do anything cooler in your entire life.
Yeah, it's just something about that wind in your face and just that freeness. It's just nothing like you can unwind in a heartbeat with something like
that. Some people use it. Some people use, you know, therapists for therapy. I use my motorcycle, right?
Mm-hmm. Mine's water and fishing.
that's yes, mine. Ma'am. So you're doing just fine.
Mm-hmm. And wildlife photography. That's another thing I love to do. Okay, so
there you go.
What is your favorite thing to unwind and unplug in the world? Is it, what else do you like?
I like video games.
What kind of video game?
I'm a gamer. I like to play my sports games. I play NHL. So if anybody wants to get dusted or whooped, you holler at me. I will take you to school. I will whoop somebody, but you know, you want to test me, I'll give you a go. So I like to play my NHL, I like to play my football. One of my favorite games is the new Avengers game. That's a lot of fun, but that's my wind down time, right? Like in the meantime, during the day, I'm hustling. I'm trying to work on this and work on that and do deals over here, deals over there. I'm working at two gyms on the side as well. So I'm hustling, man. I'm working. I'm constantly doing something.
That much needed unwind time, I'm telling you. Everybody needs to unplug from everything. So that's just that one thing that's cool. So if you, like when you've traveled, you know, in the country, is there a place that you would love to go with your fiance that you would love to take her to and just travel just to be a part of the culture and experience what it's like in the country?
I'd like to, I'd like to take her to the East Coast. Mm. I don't know if she's ever been out there. I don't think she's ever been out to like PEI and the Maritimes. I don't know if she's ever been out that way. And
it's a different feeling.
It is one of the most. Okay. So living in Victoria on Island, there's a real thing called Island time. It's when everybody's slow driving, everybody's friendly, everybody says hi to one another when you're walking down the street. There's some places on the island that are like that. Mm-hmm. But PEI and the Maritimes, it's like that everywhere. It is the most homey feeling places on the East Coast are so, oh my goodness.
They're really cool. They're cool. Like if there's a wedding out there, it's like a four-day wedding celebration.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so different out there.
Like it makes me want to be like if I were to move someplace else in Canada, I would consider moving out east. Mm. I really would. I really, really would. Wow. I mean, it's beautiful. The people are amazing. It would be an incredible place to raise a family. I've never met anybody I don't like there. Mm-hmm. So,
Nice place. No, my cousin's out there, and I toured for the Tourism Canada. I shot for their magazine, and I got to tour from one end of the island to the other, so it was really cool. Very, awesome. Very cool. Okay, so
cool.
Favorite country artist on radio today, Canadian and then American?
Favorite country artist out right now? Well, here's the thing. Obviously, I got mad love for my boy Kane Brown and Jimmy Allen because they're holding it down and they are inspirations of mine because they look like me and because their music is incredible and because they look like me and their music is incredible. And I want to be, you know, those are some role models in my world right now, in my life, just to be able to see that they can do it and they are doing it. I want to do it too. You know? Mm. It gives me that hope. But one of my absolute favorites right now is a young brother named Andrew Hyatt.
I love Andrew.
He's my guy. He put out, one of the things I love about Andrew is that he stays true to himself and his craft, right? Like he puts out music that makes him that's really, really close to his heart. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that. He's got one song that I'm just absolutely obsessed with. It's called Wildflower.
Oh, I like that one.
Oh,
such a good song.
I'm getting goosebumps just thinking about it right now. It is an absolute smash of a song, and I feel like it, you know, it deserves a lot more love than you know has been received. And so if there's one person that I want to, you know, to shout out for this time right now, it's my guy Andrew. He's a fantastic artist. Even better dude, and you know, I'm a fan. I'm very a fan cool. as a friend, but I'm also a real big fan, so
nice.
That's my guy.
Nice. Okay, so most useless talent.
Most useless talent? Mm-hmm. Oh God, what's my most useless talent? I don't really have a lot of talent.
Something silly, something God. That you do something, that you yeah.
something ridiculous. I am really, really good at cleaning my bathroom.
Nice. Oh, she's and love doing
laundry.
That.
I'm the best laundry guy ever.
Wow.
I've been doing my laundry since I was like 6 years old. My mama taught me real young. I've been doing my laundry forever. You want some things to smell good? You want your white separated? You want a stain to come out that white shirt?
Wow.
Give it to me. I got you.
Your fiance's hit the jackpot.
Yeah, she's doing all right.
She's hit the jackpot.
But I think it's the other way around, to be honest. Yeah, she's, you know, she's lucky too, for sure. But, you know, she's taking care of me in so many ways. It's insane. So
I can appreciate a man who cleans his own bathroom. Holy cow. That's amazing. That's a rarity.
Not too. My dad made me. That was one of my household chores. You know, we had two bathrooms in my old house when I was growing up. When I was a kid, I had to clean one. My brother had to clean the other, and we'd always race, and we'd always get an extra $2 in our allowance.
Nice.
My bathroom was cleaned nicer than his, and it always was.
Well, it's funny because that's the one thing that anybody will say when they walk into your home. They walk into the bathroom. That's how they can tell the character of who you are. So very cool.
You come to my house, my bathroom will be all right. It'll smell like oranges. I'll tell you that.
Two more questions, and then I know you've been so great to be able to be on the show this long. So it's just because fans don't get to, they may not know you in where we are, but obviously I wouldn't do this to you the next time and keep you on this long. But this is
why not?
This has been great. It's been awesome. Okay, so favorite TV series or movie that you watched during the pandemic?
Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
Oh, didn't expect that one. There you go. Very cool.
Well, here's the thing. They re-released all of them, and or all the seasons, and that was one of my favorite shows growing up. So I re-watched it from start to finish, and my God, is it good. My God, is it good. You never seen Fresh Prince of Bel-Air?
I haven't.
Yeah.
I know. I'm sorry. I let you down on that one. I haven't
what
seen it.
The
hell? Well, you know what?
You better watch it. You better start from the beginning.
I will start from the beginning and watch that one.
Kim.
I know. I haven't had time. It's been so busy.
We don't have to talk about this.
I know.
Okay. So let me ask you then. Okay. Hold on. Let me ask you then. What about, I'll give you a second one and you better have seen it. What about The Office?
Oh, The Office, I've seen
oh,
that
thank
one.
The Lord, Kim.
I've seen that one. Yes, I have. I like that one too.
Thank you. Good.
I love
good.
That one.
Okay, cool. Now
I'm safe.
We back.
No sidearm. No sidearm.
No, we did.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time out of your really busy schedule to be able to come on the show. And we look forward to having you back. And when I get to play some more of the songs, you know, that are on the new EP.
Mm-hmm.
So cannot wait to do that.
Thank you, Kim, for taking the time. I wasn't sure if this was ever going to happen because, you know, we've been bouncing back and forth, but I'm so grateful for you and for taking the time. So thank you.
Got stuck with COVID. So unfortunately, I was battling that for several weeks. So that's time.
Are you okay?
Yeah.
Everything okay?
I'm coming back. Good. So this is my first day back at work. So I'm really, really excited about it. So
glad I got to be part of it, girl.
Well, I'm glad to have you on the show, and we are going to be watching for the CCMAs.
We'll see you soon.
Congratulations on that gold.
Thank you, love. I'll talk to you later.
Okay. You take care.
Bye now.
I hope you enjoyed my interview with CCMA nominee country artist JoJo Mason. Check out my interviews at musicsjourney.com and the interesting articles with the latest music and videos from all the artists that I interview at nowandthenmagazine.com. You can also listen to the podcast on all streaming platforms under Music's Journey Podcast. I have some great shows coming up for you with Devin Cooper, Doc Walker, Dan Davison, Weapons, Lemon Cash, Western Swing Authority, New Moon Junction, Mac London, Kea, Toria, Rock Band, Bad Wolves, and Johnny Reed's going to be here as well. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into Music's Journey. I really appreciate each and every one of you. So have yourselves a wonderful day.
Yeah, sometimes you end up with an empty tank. It ain't all high cotton, smooth sailing. So when those seas start rocking and it's pouring rain in, just know that if your glass is half empty, I'm gonna fill up your cup. If you're running low on luck, I'll be your penny heads up. When your skies are all gray, I'm gonna bring you some color. You've got a broken umbrella, well, baby, I've got you covered. Baby, I've got you covered. So whenever you're having one of those days, feels like you and the world ain't on the same page. When the sunshine can't find you, I'm gonna be right there.
hits the fan, baby.
If your glass is half empty, I'm gonna fill up your cup. If you're running low on luck, I'll be your penny heads up. When your skies are all gray, I'm gonna bring you some color. You've got a broken umbrella. Well, baby, I've got you covered.
I got you covered, baby, from head to toe.